Hello, we're back with 10 Minutes of Talmud, and we are continuing to follow the duel as to what really is going to get that sin off your ledger, man. So let's say our blessing and be on our way. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam Asher Kishanu B'mitzvotah V'tzivanu V'asot V'divrei Torah. Okay, we are in Tractate Yoma, Chapter 8, Halakha 7. So we're right there at the end, which is kind of where the goodies are in any Talmud tractate, usually. If you're in the Schottenstein, it's 56b3. And we just had this beautiful, beautiful passage about this very intricate system of proof texts and you know, kinds of sin and kinds of atonement and what role suffering plays and what role death plays in atoning. And we had this beautiful, very intricate delineation of a whole beautiful system, which at the very end got smacked and trashed by the majority. Because any time that you have a named authority who gives you an opinion, and it's followed by the Chachamim Omrim, and the sages say that whatever that minority named opinion was gets disregarded as, and the Chachamim Omrim, the sages say, that's what is authoritative. So right at the end there, I guess maybe it was like two intricate and baroque or complicated or whatever, or maybe the sages were like still hanging on to the hope that the temple was going to be restored, or, you know, it's hard to know why some people win and some people don't. But in the end, that whole thing, well, it's nice, it's you can think about it, but if you're looking for what was the bottom line take home at the end of the day, the bottom line take home at the end of the day was the goat that they drag out to Azazel is the thing that really, really atones for the sin. And if you don't have that part of Yom Kippur, well, Yom Kippur as we have it now is going to atone the end. Ta-da! Maybe I'll have to explain about Azazel. Okay. A little bit of magic. All right. You have to get in your heads how taking the goat to Azazel worked. We all know about pilgrimage festivals, right? You bring a perfectly formed physical specimen to the temple, right? A sacrificial animal can have absolutely no blemishes. And it is sacrificed in a very controlled, clean way and processed in a very controlled way. Taking the goat to Azazel is the photonegative of that procedure. The priest goes like it's a schlep. It's like a marathon. He goes from Jerusalem out to the wilderness, and there are actually water stations the way there are at a big road race for this priest, because everybody gets it. This guy has been fasting since the night before. He's in Israel, and it's still hot at that point of the year. And he has to make a really, really long trek up and down these hills, schlepping the goat. I mean, they're not exactly known for being malleable animals. So, you know, they want to make sure that the guy gets to the end. And then at the last station, the last water station, there's 10, what happens is the people at one water station will go with the priest to the next water station. Then those people go to the next. So the first go to the second go to the third, et cetera, et cetera. The tenth kind of goes with him halfway. The person who's running the water station goes with the priest a little halfway, but when it comes to the final ending for the goat and the priest is all alone. And he throws the goat off a cliff. And this is going to be harder than you think, right? Goats practically have magnetic feet. I mean, they can jump and land on pieces of rock that, you know, would completely flummox a human being. So you are really going to have to vigorously throw this goat over a cliff to make sure the thing dies. But you're alone as opposed to in the temple where you're surrounded with people. It's very unpredictable. It's not a clean death for the animal. It's just the total opposite of what's going on in Jerusalem. Okay. But it has a great deal of meaning for those who are doing it. They are taking all the sins of all the people, and they are putting them on this goat. The reason that you have to take the goat out there is so that you take it far away and that it is absolutely assured of not coming back. So that you are taking, and you think of it as a horrible, contagious, malignant, radioactive thing. And you have to make sure that you take it away and dispose of it, and that it will be consumed out there by this, it's kind of like a desert genie that's out there at Azazel, and then it just never is going to come back. So that's the process that makes people feel safe on Yom Kippur. That's what psychologically is going on. All right. Sorry, I felt like I needed to explain that. All right, so we're on 56b3. Okay. Ketzad hum lechaper. So how does Yom Kippur atone for sins? Rabbi Ze'er Amar, so Rabbi Ze'er said, Kol Shehu, every part of the day atones. Rabbi Hananya Amar, Rabbi Hananya says, nah, basof. Only ni'ila when you get to the end of the day. And matka mibenehon, what's the difference between those two? And I just want to stop there. Okay. Rabbi Ze'era is a very, very nice guy. Very nice. And he's very concerned with righteousness. So it's kind of... it's funny, you wouldn't have thought that he would have that opinion. You would have thought he was the guy that said, nah, you know, you had to tough it out all the way to the end. He is, after all, the man who goes into an oven every month to check whether he's totally righteous or not. And going into an oven is a way of testing whether you're perfectly righteous. If you're perfectly righteous and you walk by a shaky wall, or you go into an oven and you come away from the shaky wall without it collapsing on you, or the oven and not having burned you, then you're perfectly righteous. So it's an interesting twist that he's understanding that not everybody can do it the way he does it. It's interesting. It's interesting that he's not the tougher of the two at this point. All right, I know we didn't get very far today, but I felt you needed to understand the whole goat deal for the stuff that's coming up in the next passage. All right, talk to you tomorrow. Bye.